Thank you so much, Margie. Happy Sabbath. As we come to the Lord, we come to the all-gracious God, the all-giving God, the one who's in control of all things, the one who has a blessing with your name on it. That gets me excited. And as we come to hear his word, let us bow our heads. Gracious Father above, we come to you because you love us. You love us so much, your word tells us that you gave your only son. And it is Jesus that we worship today, and we want something that is more precious than silver or gold. We ask that you will satisfy the longings of our hearts with your word and through your spirit. Speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. What we do when we hear. We have started a journey for some weeks now in the book of Genesis. Well, if it's Genesis, we're talking about more like months. And as we have come to the story of Abraham, he's known as the father of faith. We came to see that there's some specific things that the Bible teaches us in regards to our faith. And I don't know about you, but I want my faith to grow. How about you? And so we have come to see that there's some steps in our faith. First and foremost, faith is hearing God in his word. Faith is trusting God's promises. Faith is being humble enough to do what God said. Faith is worshiping God at home, wherever we are. And then we continue this process. And if you were here last week, we also came to understand that faith is making peace with God. Why? Because there was once an Abraham who kind of sold out his wife in Egypt so that he wouldn't get killed. That's like bad. You're supposed to stay with your spouse. Abraham said, you go that way, say you're my sister, and we'll be okay. Abraham sinned not against only his spouse, but also against God. And so he makes peace with God, and so faith is making peace with God. But faith is trusting that God actually accepts you in Jesus Christ. Praise God. But faith is also making peace with others. For Abraham, it included his wife. I'm sure that must have been an interesting conversation. But it also included making peace with Lot. And last but not least, faith is keeping our minds on our eternal home. Abraham, the father of faith, and learning simple lessons from his journey will be such a blessing. It's been a blessing to my life, and I pray it is with you. But the last time we saw Abraham, he had a discussion with his nephew Lot. A discussion that went like this. Our herdsmen are at each other's throats because there's just too much sheep. There's too much of your stuff and too much of my stuff. You go one way, I'll go the other. And if you go the other way, I'll go the opposite way. And you remember that conversation? When in reality, Lot should have said, Abraham, wherever you want to go, you're the patriarch. You're older than me. You're like my second dad. You're the spiritual leader. You say where I go. You choose where you want to go. But that's not what Lot said. He said, I see this nice valley, and it looks just delightful for me. I think I want that land. And he chooses what place? Oh, that's right. Sodom. Abraham. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. This is where we'll spend the bulk of our time today. Just as there's not many sermons on Genesis 13, there's much less on Genesis 14. Genesis 14, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. And so everything was quite wonderful because it was somewhat of a time of peace. Even though these other kings overtook the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was quite okay for the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah that they were overtaken. They thought, hey, it's a new leadership. They're kind of treating us knights, so to speak. I guess we'll go along with this. Until verse 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. And in the 13th year, they did what? They rebelled, the Bible says. They said, we've had enough, no more of this business. And the peace that had once been there is long gone. Genesis chapter 14, verse 5 and on, the Bible says, and in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims and Ashtoreth, Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheveh, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, and dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and there fell, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals, and went their way. And they took who? Lot. Why would they have taken Lot? Oh, that's right, because Lot lived in Sodom. Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. So basically, war breaks out, and Lot is now a POW. And that's the good news. Why is that the good news? Because they could have killed Lot if they wanted to. So the good news is Lot's still alive. He's just in jail, that's all. And Lot starts to pray and fast. Verse 13, the Bible says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And so this is very interesting because here we see how who we hang out with is either a blessing or a curse. And in Abram's situation, it was quite the blessing because Abram starts to gather those around him who happen to be, though they're not devout followers of God, they at least had a respect for God to the point where they are willing to go with Abraham on this errand. But it was quite the different case for Lot. Lot, he goes to Sodom and Gomorrah, and he and all those people end up prisoners of war. Verse 14, the Bible says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham gets word, your nephew, yeah, he's kind of not only at a bad place, but he's now a prisoner of war. And Lot, Abraham could have remembered a certain conversation that happened one day. Abraham could have said, you know what, I remember looking to this way and looking to that way, and Lot wanted the nice, lush land of Sodom. He wanted that. Well, guess what, Lot? You want it? Now make your bed in it. Because basically, he got what he, what's the word? Deserved. Who told him to go to Sodom? Nobody. You want to go to Sodom? Well, that's what you get. Which leads me to understand that something must have occurred with Abraham. What must have happened with Abraham? Oh, well, Abraham must have forgiven Lot. Because why would Abraham go after Lot when Lot disrespected Abraham? You want to go to Sodom? Have your way, and I'll pray for you. That's what you want? Go get it. You see, it's hard to help those we haven't forgiven. Could there be some people right now in your life that you know they kind of need a little help? They could use a little encouragement, a little niceness, but it just doesn't come too naturally. Could it be that some of that lack of forthrightness, that lack of propulsion to help them, could be because maybe we could be harboring something against them? Who told Abraham to forgive? God did. You see, the Holy Spirit led him to forgive, and not just the Holy Spirit, but now Abraham's in a situation where either he stays or Lot's never getting out, and Lot might just end up dying in Sodom, of which, if you continue in the book of Genesis, he almost did, even if he did get out of this predicament. But the Holy Spirit led Abraham to go. You see, as Lot got himself into this mess, Abraham has to do something. I mean, if Abraham does nothing, there's no more Lot. There's less. Abraham hears that Lot is captive, and he does something about it. And you might be thinking, I'm belaboring the point. And I am. Abraham not only goes to save Lot, Abraham gets a platoon to join him. Abraham receives the victory that only God could give him and saves not only lives but goods as well. But you know, I'm not too concerned about Lot today. Because at the end of the day, he's dead. Do we know of any captives? That's the real question. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the who? captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, it's a good thing that that was Jesus' job. No? That's not just Jesus' job. Thank you, Sandra. You see, the Bible describes Lot how in verse 14. And when Abram heard that his what? His brother. The Bible could have said nephew or his brother's son. No, the Bible says his brother. Maybe, just maybe, Abraham was his brother's keeper. Maybe that's why he went to go after Lot. Isn't that what Cain responded to the Lord? Why should I worry about Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? He's old enough. Even though he just sold him out and killed him. Who are we keeping? For those of you who have iPhones, you know what this button means. You press that because you want to make a call. And that could lead you to some other buttons and functions, which is that. It has A, B, C, D on the side. What could that mean? That's like we used to have Rolodexes. Those were the days. And here we have it at our fingertips. We press that button, and lo and behold, we get some names and numbers. Don't worry, I don't know anybody on that screen. You know what? I know a lot of people on mine. I went to look at the number of people in my contacts, and this is just to know how many silly numbers do I have carrying around with me? 1,200 at least. Think about that for a second. I don't know how many contacts you have. Maybe it's more, maybe it's less, maybe it's about the same. But here's the point. Of all those contacts, how many do we know are ready for heaven? Can I go name by name by name and say, yep, they're going, yep, they're going, yep, they're going? Or is it more like, man, I know I should pray for them. Man, I know I should reach out to them. I know I should do something, but I just don't. Abraham goes to set the captive free. And in going to set the captives free, the next part of the chapter, it's like maybe it takes a radical right turn because we see something that we've never seen before. The Bible says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Where'd he come from? And who is he? Because he shows up and he shows up with some bread and wine and he blesses. Who is this guy? I mean, for the longest time, I thought maybe this was a symbol, the pre-incarnate Christ. You see, this is where the spirit of prophecy is so beautiful. It was Christ that spoke through Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was not Christ, but he was the voice of God in the world, the representative of the Father, and all through the generations of the past, Christ has spoken, Christ has led his people, and has been the light of the world. Melchizedek was simply a servant of God, the high priest of God, speaking for God. And I don't know about you, but my Bible tells me that you and I are that too, in a very large sense. How so? The Bible says that we are the light of the world. And what was step number one for our faith steps? Wasn't it hearing God's word? Because my Bible tells me that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if I'm not in God's word, what kind of light is that? It's not. What does Melchizedek do? He brings bread and wine. He blesses Abraham and he blesses God. But my question is, why is Abraham blessed by Melchizedek? He is blessed. Why? Because he went to get his brother. That's why. Guess what? We are blessed when we go and get our brother. We are blessed when we go and set the captives free. Abraham, the father of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 23, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We live in a time in which the Bible gets pulled this way and that way. The joy of the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is seeing you and I in heaven. The joy of the Lord is seeing all of his children in heaven. So what does Abraham do? The Bible is very clear. He returns his tithe to Melchizedek. Interesting. Why does Abraham return his tithe to Melchizedek? It's simply because he was showing how the saving of the lost is supported. He was showing how it is that the captives were to be set free. And in his worship, what step is this? Oh, that's right. That's step number four. From what the Bible teaches, we return our tithe because that supports the global mission of the church. It supports the pastors, the teachers, evangelists, but the church budget supports our local mission. I hear about electricity bills or heating bills or that bill, and I cringe. That's not why we give church budget offering. That might be part of the reality of having a church here. But our local church budget offering has everything to do with our local mission here in Roseburg. And this is what Abraham did in his worship of his God. You know, this past week, my son told me something. I wish I would have recorded. We were getting ready to have evening worship. And he jumps up on the sofa and he says, Dad, I just love worship. Wow. It's that worship time at home that gets him prepared. We try, and the sibling, to get ready for worship here. Not just for the preparation of the experience, but in coming to sing to their God, in telling what great things God has done, not yesteryear, what great things has God done today. Our kids can't wait to tell those things. My question is, are we telling God these things? Thank you for the great things you have done. Praise the Lord. Praise to our Lord, the King of all creation. Tithe is where we return 10% of our increase. But our church budget is to grow over time. How so? Because here today, we have some who in our worship will sing, will pray, will read scripture, will listen to the message, but that might be all. But there also could be some who in their worship, they do what I just described, but also they might include only a tithe, which is 10% of our increase. But we could also have some who do everything that I just described, but also give a church budget offering. If we've never given a church budget offering, this is what we can do. We can return 1% of our increase. You add 10 plus 1, what do you get, church family? 11. And you see how God blesses us. Then we can go to 2% over time. Sometimes the time is 3 months, 6 months, could be a year. God shows us when that time is to take that next step. Just like Abraham was convicted by the Holy Spirit to go down and to save his nephew Lot. And we keep on going. Faith does not stop. It keeps on increasing. And so should also our giving. You see, we think that Abraham was the father of faith because of what happened on Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah was the climax of all these previous chapters that had come before in which Abraham was able to show his faithfulness to God. Abraham was faithful to God's word. Abraham was faithful to his wife. Abraham was faithful to his brother. Abraham was faithful in returning tithes and offerings. Because if we're talking about faith, how can we talk about faith without talking about tithes and offerings? Doesn't make sense. Now let's start bringing the plane starting to land. Genesis 14, 21 and on. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. Abraham didn't want things. He wanted souls. And today, praise the Lord, we gave a what kind of offering? Sacrificial offering. And it may be that when the offering was picked up, we weren't ready to give. But if today the Holy Spirit is talking to you and saying, take that step of faith. My wife and I were praying about what offering to give. And we made a decision of what it would be. And the thought crossed my mind. That means there's less. And then I thought about what the father must have felt when he gave some? No. He gave all. That's what the father gave. He gives the son, and could we really expect that the angels satisfied? The angels have their place, but to lose his son, someday we'll get to try to understand what that meant. My question is it time to be faithful? I think it is. It's time to be faithful to God's word. It's time to be faithful to our spouse if we're married. It's time to be faithful to our brother in setting the captives free. And it's time to be faithful in returning our tithes and offerings. Because next year, we got some things going on. What do we have going on? As you have seen and will see, we're having some weeks of prayer in which you and I are revived. What are we having next year? We're having some nice glow outreach opportunity, of which last 2 weeks ago, we went out into the community and gave these out. And what a privilege. Sam Hall and I went to one spot, this one park, and very few amount of people there, but there was I saw that there was a lady parked in, who was sitting in their car in the parking lot. And after we distributed in the park, I felt impressed to go to this lady. And I say, lovely day, is it not? Oh, yes, here's something for you. She looked at it, she looked at me, she said, you're the pastor of the Adventist Church. I said, you are right. She said, I go to such and such a church. I was not expecting that response from a complete stranger. Maybe there's people still waiting to be reached. What else is happening next year? Bringing my friends to church. I mean, we have our friends over for this or for that, but what about for what matters most? Let's bring our friends to church. But also, we're having Bible workers. Does that mean we're hiring a bunch of Bible workers? No, that's not what that means. It means that you get to be trained and that I get to be trained in giving Bible studies. Oh, that's right. We did that last week. And now we get to share the good news with those around us. And we're also next year looking at launching some small groups by faith. But next fall, we want to be able to have some evangelistic. You see, we shouldn't put all of our marbles into one pocket and think that just because we do one thing, that'll suffice. No, we need to use every avenue possible to reach the lost. To do this stuff requires dinero, money. That last time I checked, he gave it to us. You see, we know what Abraham did when he heard when Lot was imprisoned. What will we do now that we've heard that there's still captives waiting to be set free? The people all around us are captive, and unless we go and free them, they will stay there. Who will set the captives free? Will that be you? Will that be me? May we go and free them ourselves. May we go and free them by returning a faithful tithe and church budget offering. The hymn writer said, give of your best to the master. I want to give my best to him. How about you?
Let's turn to number 572 and stand as we sing the first and third verses.
Best to the master.
Father, thank you because you emptied the glories of heaven to set this captive free, to set these captives free. And Father, we appreciate and thank you for this freedom in Christ Jesus. But there's still so many that are still away from you. We ask, O God, that your Spirit may make us uncomfortable, that your Spirit may convict us, that your Spirit may move us. So just as Abraham left all that he had to reach his brother, may you move us to reach those that shall be our brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, because you've promised victory, not defeat. And thank you because you give us the opportunity to support this local mission. So, Father, move on hearts now. It may be that on our way out, you are wanting us to give something as deacons are prepared to receive. Bless your children, and may we move forward by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.